Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Quentin Tarantino's Oscar-nominated film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the filmmaker's love letter to Tinseltown. His recreation of 1969 Los Angeles features fictional characters colliding with real-life actor Sharon Tate and director Roman Polanski. And one of the scene stealers in the movie is legendary martial artist and actor Bruce Lee. Lee is played by Wisconsin's Mike Moe. He's the founder of Moe's Martial Arts in Wanakee, but also spends time in L.A. acting in film and TV. Mike joins us now to tell his story of the journey from Wanakee to the Academy Awards, where he got a shout-out from his co-star and Best Supporting Actor winner, Brad Pitt.
And the Oscar goes to Brad Pitt.
And to the rest of the cast and crew, Big Bad Bob Richardson, Robert Garcia, Richie, my man Mike Moe.
So how did you get the part of Bruce Lee in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Funny, I was actually teaching at my martial arts studio. There's a little plug. Wanakee, Wisconsin. Yeah. It was martial arts. I was teaching a class, and my Apple Watch goes off. It's my agent. I run quick. I take the call, and they say, hey, you need to be on a flight to Los Angeles tonight.
Wow.
Because Quentin Tarantino is doing a new movie, and Bruce Lee is in it. So immediately, I had my classes covered, and I went home, packed it up, booked a flight, and then the next day, I was given this very covert and secret manila envelope, which had the scene of the movie with Bruce Lee, and they wouldn't let me take it home, so I had to study it, and then the next day, I did the audition, and I went home. Mm. So I didn't hear anything for maybe a week. And then I got a call from my agent, said, Quentin watched your tape, and he responded to it.
Wow.
And he wants to meet you.
Right. If you don't mind my asking, can you talk a bit about what you guys talked about during that first meeting?
Before I did my audition, we just sat and talked about movies. We sat and talked about our mutual love for Bruce Lee and just specific movies and specific tones and moments in Bruce Lee movies. And not only that, but he was just sharing... He knows more about kung fu movies than I do, you know. He
really?
Because
I guess he knows more about movies in general.
Yeah,
really?
Shaw Brothers.
Were you surprised that he knew that much about kung fu movies?
Yeah, actually, I was very, very surprised. You know, he's probably the world's foremost movie fan, and he knows everything. And even on set, like, he would reference the most obscure things and the most little-known actors, and to him, this is just his playground. So.
Right. And then they're so obscure that you probably don't get the references, right?
Absolutely.
And then do you admit that, or do you just play along?
I just nod my head, and I'm just like, yes, sir, yep, I got it.
Yeah. So I understand that there was a table read. That was kind of the next step in the process, right? Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Yeah, so meeting Quentin, that was probably stage two. Mm-hmm. And then I did my audition with him. That went great. And... came home. I didn't hear anything for 2 weeks. So that was quite a long 2 weeks in my life. And I kept hearing from my agent, yeah, you're still in the mix. You know, the next time you go in, it's probably going to be you. And actually, Quentin told me at the end of my audition with him, he said, the next time I see you, it'll be you and two or three other Bruces vying for the role.
Oh.
So he made it seem like it was going to be some sort of battle royale.
Yeah, like a Bruce
role.
Off or something.
Exactly.
Like Bruce Lee off, yeah.
So I just immediately looked him in the eye and said, hey, I just want to let you know I'm the right guy for the part.
Mm.
And so, you know, trying to bring in some of that Bruce confidence,
yeah.
You know, in person.
He probably liked that, right?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
And then when I finally got the call, they said, yeah, you're going to be doing a chemistry read. And after that, the next day, the stunt team wants to meet you to see if you can actually move. So I was feeling pretty confident about the stunt team thing, but as far as the chemistry read, I was thinking, oh boy, I'm going to have to meet Brad and
meet with him to see if
this scene works between the two of us. And I got the directions, I flew into town, I pull up to the address, but it's this black gated studio or small house on Sunset Boulevard, and... I was the first one of the first people there. I walk in, the first person to open the door is Quentin greeting me. Hey, Mike, let me introduce you to my friend, Bert. And I look past him, and there's Burt Reynolds.
Wow.
Who had been cast in the film, who unfortunately, sadly, passed before he could do the role.
Mm. So what part was he supposed to play?
He was supposed to play George Spann.
Oh, okay, right. You know, Bruce Dern, the part Bruce Dern played. Right,
so
okay.
I got to meet, you know, there. It's like, wow, starstruck already. And then I settle into this room, this long table with a bunch of placards and a bunch of people hanging around, producers, and I see Dakota Fanning, I see Emile Hirsch, I see Luke Perry, who, you know, again, he was right to my left, so it was, you know, incredible that I got to meet him before he passed as well. But just all these people that I had no idea were involved in the film. Because at the time, all the research and all the articles said Leo, Brad, and Margot.
Yeah.
Everybody else was actually announced later that afternoon.
Mm.
So I kind of got to see it all before it was public information. And I think I was the only person at that table read that had not been officially offered the role.
Mm.
So Quentin later told me, he said, yeah, I wanted to bring you in to see how you would react.
Yeah. How did you feel you did at the table read?
I guess just good enough to get the role. But I feel like I knew it was my final test.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I would perform well with the stunt team. And if I could get through this and really impress everybody, that it would be going my way. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just keep remembering, because the only information that I got for auditioning was our main scene that I did with Brad in the movie. So I furiously paged through this whole script, which was, you know, 3-4 inches thick.
Mm.
And I'm looking for my scene because I knew that I'd have to read this with Brad in front of everybody.
Yeah.
So I furiously paged through the pages until I found the scene. It was page 53. I'll never forget it. And every page that was read by all those actors across the table from me got me one page closer
yeah.
to when I was going to have my moment.
So how were you feeling as you were getting pages closer as you hit page 47, 48? Were you nervous?
Yeah, I wish I would have had a heart rate monitor.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it just got steadily spiking up. But I just remember saying like, hey, I'm going to go big. I'm not going to be the guy that plays it safe and just kind of goes along with it. Because a lot of those actors are very established. And they would just read it as if they were just talking, just as a casual read. But I made sure that I was full on Bruce mode, full on performing. And Brad and I actually started getting into it.
Oh, cool.
You know, like eye contact and just like this fun banter. And everybody at the table was laughing.
You're a little man with a big mouth and a big chip. And I think you should be embarrassed to suggest you be anything more than a stain on the seat of Cassius Clay's trunks.
Father. You're the one with the big mouth, and I would really enjoy closing it, especially in front of all my friends. But my hands are registered as lethal weapons. That means we get into a fight, I accidentally kill you, I go to jail.
Anybody accidentally kills anybody in a fight, they go to jail. It's called manslaughter.
Yeah, so how and when did you find out that you had got the role?
I think after the table read, it was still a good 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I just remember I was in Wanakee at our little neighborhood pool, and it was summer. So I'm swimming in the pool with my kids, and I get my call, and I get the news, and I freak out a little bit. I'm sure some of my neighbors were wondering
what I was going so giddy on over
about.
There.
And I do a big belly flop into the pool to celebrate, and it was a good day.
Yeah, a great day. Yeah. So, as you mentioned, Bruce Lee was someone that both you and Quentin Tarantino have mutual love for. Can you tell me a bit about what Bruce Lee means to you?
Yeah, I mean, so the three guys that I saw that I really, used as trailblazers for my own life, because I didn't really see a lot of Asian male faces on screen. And my dad and I would watch these movies all the time. The first one is Jackie and Bruce, and then later on it was Jet Li, and now it's like Donnie Yen. So as far as Asian male representation, that's what I knew. And because I was into martial arts already, that was something that was like really got my blood boiling, to see those guys kicking so much butt on the screen.
Yeah.
And to be able to play Bruce has been kind of a lifelong bucket list thing for me ever since I started acting. And there have been a few opportunities where I was very close to playing Bruce, but for whatever reason, some of those things didn't go my way. So to have it all come together in a project like this with a maestro director like Quentin Tarantino has been worth the wait.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you do to prepare for playing Bruce Lee?
first I rewatched all of his movies, which wasn't too difficult to do. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, the movie is 2 hours and 40 some minutes, and Bruce is in three scenes, and he's only really in one long extended scene where he speaks. So I had to make sure that with the little time that I had, that it was a memorable and impactful scene.
And it sure was.
Number one, I need people to know more, you know, just beyond the look, that they could feel Bruce and his spirit, you know. Obviously, fictional liberties were taken in the film, but as far as his energy and as far as his presence and his attitude, that's what I really wanted to capture. So the one thing that I really relied on was the interview he did with Pierre Bertrand.
Ah, my fellow Canadian.
The black and white interview.
Right,
one of the only ones that is videoed, that has a video and also a long form interview.
Yeah.
So that was where you could also get a sense of just who he was as opposed to just philosopher Bruce Lee. But he had a good mix of, you know, he would say, be water, but also he would share his opinions on different things and just his attitudes. And when you watch the video, you would notice certain mannerisms he would have with his hands or with his body or how he would physicalize a lot of his phrases, kind of like he does in martial arts. So he uses all of his being to accentuate a point.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that I didn't really take specific movements, but I think as I watched that every single day, as I had it in my earphones, it just started to become more natural. And I even started to take some of those physical traits and into my own martial arts teaching. So I'm sure some of the students at my martial arts school, they noticed my hair getting longer. They noticed my cadence and my voice changing a little. And whether that was on purpose or not, it helped in my transformation to help that, to play that part.
What was the best bit of direction you got from Quentin Tarantino during the shoot?
I've heard so many stories about how he is on set before. I studied everything. I just wanted to be, I didn't want to be caught off guard. And I've read both things, that he can be very, very, very controlling and very intense, and that he can be very fun and loose and relaxed. But I think he knows exactly what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Every single one of his films is literally like a child to him.
Yeah.
And there's nobody on the set that cares more than him about that movie. And I think that's why it's very impressive that he brings many of the same people back on the crew, because he knows that he can trust these people that also have that equal passion, whether it be in costuming or set design or camera work. So I think that's very admirable that Quentin can rally the troops the way he does and create an environment on set that everybody is laser focused. So a lot of times in movies, he gets the best performance out of the actors. And for me, like I've never felt more of an actor than on his set. So him being on set, I'll use our example of Brad and my scene, our extended scene.
Yeah.
We had a full, I can't remember how much, it was over 4 minutes. We had a non-cutaway. It was a one-shot.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I timed it. I think it was pretty much exactly 4 minutes, 4 minutes of one continuous shot without an edit, in which you and Brad's character are jaw-jacking at one another before you kick him in the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how tough was it to shoot that, like, uninterrupted, no edit, four-minute scene?
I think the greatest thing, gift that Quentin gave me that week was he just let me be. He didn't really... You know, when we were on set, he let me be. You know, a couple of rehearsals before we started shooting, he said, look, it's all on you because I have an idea of how I want to shoot this scene.
Yeah.
It's going to be a one-shot take. This is how I want to do it. And if you don't nail it, I'm going to have to change it. And this is the way I want to shoot it. But I wouldn't have hired you if I didn't believe that you could do it.
Yeah.
So as my knees are quivering, I said, yes, sir, you got the right guy.
Yeah. How many takes did it take to get
it? So I think, if I remember correctly, he gave us like a pep talk. He said, all right, we've got this long 4.5 minute scene. There's definitely going to be multiple takes because there's going to be a plane that flies by or somebody's going to flub a line or the camera's going to be out of position. And if there's any moment where I don't like it, don't assume it's you. I'm just going to cut it so we can save our performance because it might be a long day. I don't know how many days they had blocked off for this, but I know it was a lot more than what we actually had to use it in, because I think we got it in our fourth take.
Oh, way to go. Yeah, that's very impressive.
I just remember he said, don't freak out as we get close to the end, because there's going to be this tendency to start celebrating before you finish the scene. Stay in it.
Yeah, stay in
the
moment.
And then when I say cut, then we get it. And so we got it on the fourth take, and I think Quentin was already jumping up and down, so he was kind of contradicting himself. You can see him off to the side. Yeah. Not only he's the one that's laughing the loudest at the jokes.
Yeah,
he's the one just, you know, I don't know if you can't see me obviously, but he's fidgeting. You know,
yeah, you're
just
gesticulating,
jumping around exactly. And then we call cut, and he's the first one jumping up and down, and we all celebrate. Brad and I, high 10, you know, it was a celebration. He's like, that's the one that's going to be in the movie, but we're going to do it again. And then he says, why? And then the whole crew, unbeknownst to me, says, because we love making movies. Mm. And it was this whole team thing.
That's great.
And it just felt like that moment I was like welcomed into this Tarantino film family. And then we did it again. And they called that the little sister. I think it took us two or three more times to get another good one that he was happy with. But I think the one that he used in the film was that first one.
Wow. That's a great moment that you experienced there. Yeah. There's a bit of controversy surrounding your character. And to be clear, it doesn't have anything to do with your portrayal. But Bruce Lee's daughter, Shannon Lee, has said that Quentin Tarantino seemed to have gone out of his way to make fun of her father and to portray him as a buffoon. What do you think of that comment?
I'm not sure about the cut. No, just kidding. Yeah, you know, I can understand her position. That's her father. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm not in a position to say anybody's right or wrong. I'm as big of a Bruce Lee fan as there is. And I think he kind of had to be a little,
For sure.
There's a very thin line between being cocky and being very confident.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, he was on Green Hornet. But
yes.
Even though he was on a show that was on ABC prime time, he was still second fiddle. He was still forced to wear the mask a lot of the time. So even though he was kind of on his way to superstardom, he never got to experience how famous he became.
Yeah.
So he was still fighting his way, trying to change the perception of what an Asian man is on screen, representation wise. So he had to be a little cocky and a little boastful, and that's what was so important to me to like see. That, an Asian man doesn't have to be subservient or weak. He can be strong and confident and have a little attitude towards him. And I think that's what a lot of people around the world really gravitate to as far as Bruce Lee's concerned.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. I think you're absolutely right. What is your dream role?
Dream role? Well,
yeah.
I keep saying I'm kind of over it now, but after the premiere and after the movie came out, I was kind of like, I felt like I was creatively hungover a little bit because I had just come off my dream role.
Mm.
So now I'm just trying to figure out what is it that I really, really want to do. Obviously, I got into this business to kick butt in movies.
Yeah.
You know, but now I've got a new belief in myself that I don't have to just do the action roles.
No.
I can do the drama roles. I could do comedy roles.
Yeah.
I could do different things. But at the end of the day, like, if you were to tell me, you know, here's this amazing action script, or here's a chance to work with Keanu Reeves in a John Wick film, like that would get my blood boiling.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, variety is the spice of life, and I'm excited at all the opportunities that may or may never come. And that's exciting too, not knowing exactly what's next.
Yeah. Mike Moe, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
Mike Moe's an actor and a martial arts instructor in Wisconsin. He plays Bruce Lee in the Quentin Tarantino film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Find out more about Mike and his story at WPR.org/beta. Coming up next, we get relationship advice from historical women, courtesy of author Jennifer Wright. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.